Coming up, we'll talk about marijuana in the car and whether the smell of marijuana gives law enforcement the right to search the vehicle. We have an important decision coming from an appellate court in Northern California. That'll be the focus of our conversation. But first, it's another legal issue, and that is whether major hotel chains bear financial responsibility for prostitution that takes place on the premises of properties that use their name, where there are franchises that are operating. The hotel chains named in the suits include Hilton, Marriott, Wyndham, Choice Hotels International. The lawsuits have been filed by women who claim that they were sex trafficked through different hotel properties, that hotel employees did nothing to report the activity or to attempt to stop the abuse of the women. Joining us is Shan Wu, a former federal prosecutor with a law firm in Washington, D.C., which includes the practice of white-collar crimes. Mr. Wu, thank you for being with us. Do you think that there is a case to be made that these chains could be held legally accountable?
I do. The particular section of the Human Trafficking Act specifically allows for liability and recovery for people who are harboring this type of sex trafficking conspiracy, as well as people who are receiving the benefits financially. And of course, it's that last aspect which would be most troubling for the hotels. And I think, you know, for the hotels, the issue is just being on the right side of history here. I mean, there can't be any question as to whether this is a, you know, proper, improper thing to do. And it's a question of really the proof issues. In the lawsuits that have been filed, the facts are just very bad. It seems very blatant that the hotel staff must have known what's going on. So I think that's what the problem is for them. Legally, it's really, as always, a question of what evidence would meet the statute.
Well, and how would the hotel workers determine whether someone is being trafficked, pimped, forced to do this versus someone who's meeting customers at a hotel and engaging in fully consensual sex work?
Right. So two things there. We'll take the gray area first, which is prostitution. So meeting the customers is still illegal in most places. So that in and of itself would be problematic. The hotel, I would imagine, would not want that kind of activity going on their premises. And when there is prostitution, there's going to be the natural question of, is this potentially sex trafficking? Which really, by definition, from a legal and moral standpoint, it really is. And how would they know about it? Well, when I was a sex crimes prosecutor, it was very well known on the part of the sex industry workers, as well as the police, which hotels frequently allowed this. There were hotels that were tolerant of it and hotels that weren't. And so, for example, the front desk is going to see relatively heavy traffic of people going in and out who are not customers, guests staying at the hotel. They're customers of the sex industry going on. Also, the hotel workers, cleaning people, for example, are frankly going to find evidence of sex trafficking going on. They're going to be, you know, use condoms, for example, be a little bit clinical about it, but they'll find evidence of that nature.
Yeah, but guests leave behind condoms too, right? So guests leave behind condoms too, right?
Oh, absolutely, yes. However, the sheer volume in those cases is going to be, you know, rather unusual for that. And then, in addition to that, just in these particular lawsuits that have been filed, there are actual allegations of the hotel workers or hotel management of the local sites seeing evidence of the survivors having been physically harmed, and in some cases, survivors asking for help. So that, of course, is, you know, very difficult evidence to overcome in terms of the knowledge.
All right. And so is it in these lawsuits, is it alleged that what the hotel should have done is called police about this activity? And if hotel operators do that, are they potentially at risk of being sued for reporting someone who's going to claim, I wasn't engaging in prostitution and you're discriminating against me and filing a false report?
These lawsuits don't really specifically say what actions that the hotels should have taken, but rather simply accuses them of being part of conspiracy and benefiting from this financially. With regard to that risk question, I think there is some risk of that. If the police come knocking at a guest's door and they say, we're investigating, you know, allegations of sex trafficking, the guest may indeed be quite offended by it. However, the risk management, I mean, I don't represent the hotel industry, but from a risk management standpoint, that is a far smaller risk. And most guests would understand if it was explained to them that, you know, we are concerned about this bad issue. It's a much smaller risk that that guest individually is going to sue the hotel over some privacy or defamation action than it is to have this industry-wide phenomenon going on where there's going to be a criminal crackdown on hotels as well as just waves of lawsuits. That's a much bigger problem for them, really.
We're talking with Shan Wu, former federal prosecutor and a law firm in Washington, D.C. Also with us is labor and employment attorney based in Los Angeles, Travis Gamotz. Thank you for being with us, Travis. So do you think that it's fair that these hotel chains should be held accountable for prostitution or sex trafficking on their premises?
Thank you, Larry. Let's be very clear. First of all, human trafficking, it is an urgent, it's a growing global problem, and it affects some of the most vulnerable members of our society. And we need to devote all of our available resources to stop its spread and to help those victimized by it. Now, you know, statistics show over 80% of trafficking victims come in contact with healthcare providers during their trafficking events. We've heard stories of victims who are observed at a restaurant or a flight attendant on a major airline who they see something and they call out to the authorities and the situation is averted. Hotels are also in that front line. And I do represent many hotel operators and owners. What we have done is increasingly mandated training for for the hotel employees so that they know how to recognize signs of potential human trafficking situations so that they can alert proper authorities, either law enforcement organizations or nonprofits such as the National Human Trafficking Hotline, so that they're armed to know what to look for and to know what steps would be appropriate given the circumstances.
How are they trained to differentiate between someone who is being trafficked and can't escape the situation versus someone who's just meeting customers at the hotel? How do they, or do they not have to differentiate between it? Are they just expected to report if they perceive someone is selling sex on premises?
Well, and Larry, you bring up an excellent point. You know, the law that we're talking about specifically refers to trafficking victims. It's the Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act. And while prostitution is certainly illegal in almost all jurisdictions, this law addresses trafficking situations. And there is definitely a difference between what would be described as consensual versus the crime, the federal crime of trafficking. And it is sometimes the telltale signs of some sort of sexual activity happening doesn't in any way necessarily indicate that trafficking has occurred. But there are signs that hotel employees can be trained to look for specifically for trafficking situations where a victim is being forced against their will, where they are victimized, where there might be physical violence or threats that are keeping them in that situation. So certain signs can be detected and there can be training to that. Simply, the fact that you might find detritus evidencing a sexual encounter, use condoms, lubricant, sheets, that does not in and of itself indicate that there has been a trafficking situation.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out just from a practical standpoint how hotels would be expected to deal with? I mean, if it's obvious, like as is alleged in some of these lawsuits, physical abuse, and that hotel employees witnessed people being you know, physically struck or harmed. I mean, that's pretty clear. But that would be the case if anybody is physically assaulted on the premises. I would think if a hotel employee witnessed that, they would be expected to report that to hotel management. But let's take a listener call. Joshua in North Hills, good to have you with us on Air Talk. What do you think?
Yeah, my comment, question for the...
Yeah, just go right to it.
Yeah, I think this would... prostitution is going to... trafficking and prostitution, they're things that are unfortunate, that they're going to happen regardless of how many preventative measures we have. And I feel like this will cause potential victims to not have the sanitary and comforts of a hotel, and they'll do this activity, illegal activity, in more dangerous places, unsanitary places, unsafe spaces. And the only people who are going to be damaged by this won't be their attackers or their kidnappers. It will be the victims themselves. My question is, what will you do to promise that these type of things won't happen?
Well, and I don't think anyone could guarantee that, Joshua. But Shan Wu, what about unintended consequences where trafficking is carried out in more dangerous locations than hotels?
I think that's a very valid concern. And of course, it goes to a bigger question of whether there should be, frankly, legalization of prostitution, some sort of regulation and oversight over it. I think the difficulty here, you know, with all due respect to Travis's distinction, I mean, the hotels cannot be in a position where they're going to say, well, we welcome legitimate prostitution, but we want to learn to distinguish as to trafficking. I think, you know, morally and legally, that those are really going to be combined in the future. I mean, there are very strong arguments that there is no such thing as a consenting adult going into sex trade.
But that's a philosophical perspective. That's not, you can't prove that one way. That's an opinion. So you can't really make law based on that, right?
Well, no, you can't. For example, let's look at the more obvious issue of younger people. Okay, underage, obviously, no brainer there. But one of the issues with the sex trafficking is oftentimes you have people who are of a legal age, but the economic circumstances are forcing them into that. So I think that's a very real issue.
But there are all kinds of jobs people are economically forced into, not just sex work. But anyway, let's take listener calls. We're at 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Travis Gamotz, what do you think are the odds here that the hotel chains can fend this off? Or do you think ultimately they are vulnerable here for what takes place on their premises?
Well, let's look at, you know, the statute is very clear. The statute was meant to impose civil liability on those who profit from human trafficking, those who had actual knowledge that human trafficking was occurring or imputed knowledge. It was meant to punish human traffickers by allowing their victims to sue them in civil court for the harm that these traffickers have caused their victims. It's quite a stretch in these lawsuits, and in fact, federal courts have dismissed the hotel chains. You know, to hold the Marriotts and the Hiltons of the world responsible, you know, on a corporate level for what might have happened, you know, at one of their, you know, a branded hotel or perhaps a franchise, is a stretch, and it really is going beyond what this law was meant to prevent. And as noted, you know, federal courts have agreed with that. Obviously, I think if you go down to the micro level and you have an operator of a hotel, who knows what's going on, you know, who's happy to collect this money in clear trafficking situations, not to say that a hotel owner should be immune from liability under the statute. But it's going way too far afield, and the courts have agreed to hold these parent companies liable for what might be happening at some rogue property is not what this law was meant to.
What about in extreme circumstances, though? Like, you know, Shan's describing employees seeing people physically victimized. It's clear that there is a criminal operation being run out of rooms at a hotel. Is there no liability in cases like that?
Well, this is where I think the training comes in and where the training is so important because, you know, not only are these major hotel chains, but, you know, insurance companies that that cater to the hotel industry, they're starting to recognize that that hotels, you know, are often in the front lines in this battle to stop human trafficking. And they've mandated that that this training occurs. You know, like you say, it's very difficult sometimes to discern between, you know, consensual sex and a true trafficking situation. Obviously, when you've got a situation where there might be, you know, a second person who is presiding in the you know, hovering around the hotel to make sure that the human trafficking victim doesn't escape or doesn't go out. I mean, there are certain signs that can be trained, and so I think that's really
okay.
where this should go as far as, you know, increasing the awareness to stop this horrible problem.
Let me add a bunch of listener comments that have come in. Cam writes on the AirTalk page, if full-service sex work were to be decriminalized, then victims of human trafficking would be able to come forward without fearing the police. Thank you for pointing out that many people do this consensually. Please ask your guest if he thinks poor people working at McDonald's are working consensually. Sex workers make much more and set their own hours. Rob writes on the page, there's prostitution in condominiums, apartments, and houses all over. That's where it'll go. Iban writes on the page, sex trafficking equals bad, prostitution equals not bad. And you can share your comments on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. My thanks to our guest, former federal prosecutor and attorney in private practice, Shan Wu, and Travis Gamotz, labor and employment attorney in private practice in Los Angeles. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. Coming up, we'll talk about an important appellate court decision from Northern California over what the odor of marijuana inside a vehicle does or doesn't allow police officers to use as a pretext for searching a vehicle. We'll be back in just a minute on Air Talk.